You are listening to the Doug Hagmann Radio Show, weekdays 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And now the man behind the mic, a private investigator with over 30 years under his belt, Doug Hagmann.
Good morning, everyone. It's 6 a.m. on the West Coast of America, 9 a.m. here in the East. Welcome to Hagmann. It's the Doug Hagmann Investigative Hour for today. It is Thursday, May 31st, last day of May 2018. Thanks for joining me this morning. Boy, I'll tell you, so much happens before 9 a.m. It's absolutely incredible. I want to just share with you, starting out, I received a call early this morning from Stan Deo, who just landed on U.S. soil. Listeners of the flagship program know Stan Deo, of course, somebody I like to call the real Indiana Jones, a title reserved for just a few people. He just is on his return trip home from the Garden of Eden, this exploratory trek, and to hear what he's got to say. Here's the situation. He called me from Chicago on his way back to Colorado, and he was describing the actual Garden of Eden, the biblical Garden of Eden, and what they found there, from the landscape, the topography, to the people, to the wildlife, where you've got 10 feet away from sleeping lions who are cohabitating with zebras, and zebras walking with wildebeest, and just an incredible story in the fields of grass and the fields of gold, the gold marigolds, and just everything that he described to me in the soil and how the area, how the government is looking at the soil, because it's unlike any other soil in any other place in the world. It's just, I could go on for a long time talking about this. So just mark your calendars for next Tuesday. Next Tuesday, Stan Deo will be on with the two individuals who went with him on this expedition, and it's going to be 90 minutes. I haven't even told John, the producer, this yet, but the information that you will hear validates everything in the Bible without any variance whatsoever. The most incredible conversation I had with anyone. It happened this morning with Stan Deo. It's absolutely incredible. You're not going to want to miss next Tuesday, the flagship show, The Hagmann Report. 90 minutes going to be giving to Stan Deo and his two expedition partners to hear what they found. The discussion, for example, of the trees, you know, good and evil, for knowledge, tree of knowledge and such. Wow. That was my go-to word, as it often is, wow, but in this case, I mean wow. So next Tuesday, mark your calendars. Stan Deo is going to be joined by two of his expedition partners. And the information, again, the information that you're going to hear, it's going to be broken on our flagship show, The Hagmann Report. You're not going to hear this anywhere else. You're not going to hear about the infrastructure, the architecture, where it all began. Think about that. It's almost beyond my comprehension. And you don't have to be a Christian necessarily to really understand and believe what he's saying. It's all there. Oh, man. So that's how, in part, my morning started. Actually, my morning started at about 2:30 with a transformer near my home, electrical transformer, a big explosion. It got me out of bed, out of a sound sleep about 2:30 this morning, lost power and such. But anyway, so it's never a dull moment. But having said all of that, I'm going to say this again. If you're listening to this show and you hear construction noises, we've got some construction. I got a construction crew, or there is a construction crew working on a neighboring building here adjacent to the studio. So the sound is going to waft in here, and hopefully it doesn't get too distracting. So I apologize for that in advance, but there's nothing I can do. All right. One of the things yesterday and this week, of course, the big is it really a big story? It is if you look at it properly. Of course, the Roseanne situation, the Roseanne tweet about Valerie Jarrett. What a very positive thing from this. It's getting people talking about Valerie Jarrett. And here's the approach for this program. Naming names and understanding who the enemies, in my view, the enemies of the Republic really are. If you look at the situation, the Twitter post by Roseanne Barr that caused all this controversy, she was referencing Valerie Jarrett. If there's any good to come of this, and I think there is, it's exposing the people, exposing us, exposing you to names you should know, people you should know, people in my view who are enemies of the state. Because it's easy to say, well, you know, the globalists, but put a face and put a name to the people we're talking about, and that of course is Valerie Jarrett. Valerie Jarrett is a very key person in the Obama regime, in the communist assault on our representative republic, is Valerie Jarrett, in my view. Don't forget, Valerie Jarrett, close friend and advisor to Barack Hussein Obama, currently living with Obama and his wife at their Embassy Row compound, running the resistance against Donald Trump. So who is Valerie Jarrett? I had the occasion yesterday to speak with a number of people just on a fact-finding mission. People that I came across in my ordinary day-to-day travels and the people that I could talk to and asking, well, do you know who Valerie Jarrett is? And there was a sense of, no, well, I kind of have heard, I know who this person is. I know kind of, sort of, but not really. So let's take an in-depth look at some of the members of the deep state, of the globalist government. Let's really get into this, because it's that important. Of course, the focus, Valerie Jarrett. Who is she? Again, close friend and advisor of Barack Hussein Obama during his years running this country. She was raised by parents and grandparents with deep communist ties. If you follow my program, you know I'm really big on the Muslim/Marxist infiltration, the communist infiltration that is decades, if not a half a century or longer old, 70 years, 75 years. I mean, you're talking World War II era infiltration, exposed by Senator Joe McCarthy, exposed by the House, on the other side, the House Un-American Activities Committee. These are the people, the infiltration, the attacks on our infrastructure. What we saw back then, or what we read about in history books, or don't read about in history books, is it set the stage for what we're seeing today. And it's so important to understand that this did not happen. Where we're at today, it didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen within the 8 years of Obama. It happened over time, like the proverbial frog in the boiling pot of water. This is what has happened to the United States, and it's so important that people really understand how long we've been simmering in this pot of water. But let's take a look for a moment right now at Valerie Jarrett. Valerie Jarrett, born her maiden name, her birth name, surname Bauman, B-O-W-M-A-N. She was born Valerie Bauman. She was born on November 14th, 1956, to American parents, but she was born in Shiraz, Iran. Now, there are a number of people that formed the Valerie Jarrett ideology, her ideology. You've got Valerie Jarrett's father. You've got her mother, of course, her maternal grandfather, her maternal grandmother, and not the least of which is her father-in-law. We're going to be touching on all of these people. You might think that this is a little unnecessary, over the top, boring. Don't think that. Because when we put the pieces together, by the end of the program, you're going to see, well, okay, some of this stuff didn't happen by accident. A lot of this was not serendipitous. This was planned out, and that's exactly what I will attempt to prove by the end of this episode. So you've got Valerie Jarrett. Her father, an American-born doctor named James Bauman, who died in 2011, worked as a pathologist and geneticist at a children's hospital in Iran as part of a U.S. aid program. He lived in Chicago from 1947 to 1953, and that is concurrent. We heard this name before. During this time, that's when, precisely when Frank Marshall Davis, the communist journalist who would later serve as Barack Hussein Obama's mentor, launched his Communist Party Line newspaper, the Chicago Star. So you've got James Bauman and Frank Marshall Davis in Chicago at the same time during Davis's launch of a communist newspaper. Now, James Bauman, Jarrett's father, moved to Iran, where Valerie Jarrett was born after his discharge, by the way, from the Army Medical Corps in 1955. There's an FBI file. Much of this has been uncovered by Judicial Watch. James Bauman, Valerie Jarrett's father, according to the FBI file, was a communist, a full-fledged communist. He often collaborated with other Chicago-based members of the Communist Party. Go back. Remember Diana West. Remember my focus on the World War II, post-World War II era. The communist infiltration of our nation. But Valerie Jarrett's father, James Bauman, a communist who often collaborated with other Chicago-based members of the Communist Party. For example, in 1950, he communicated with a paid Soviet agent named Alfred Stern. Now, Alfred Stern later fled the United States to Prague after being charged with espionage in 1957. And then he relocated to Cuba, where he served as an advisor to Fidel Castro. Okay, this was the colleague of Jarrett's father. Go back to 1986, New York Times report. Stern, who I mentioned, again, the colleague of Jarrett's father, Alfred Stern, and his wife, Martha, were indicted in absentia on espionage charges on September 9th, 1957. The indictment charged them with conspiring to act as Soviet agents receiving American military, commercial, and industrial information and then transmitting it to the Soviet Union. The indictment charged that they used their house in Ridgefield, Connecticut, for meetings with Soviet agents. All right, that's Alfred Stern, the colleague of Valerie Jarrett's father, James Bauman. Now, the federal government placed Bauman under special surveillance because of his involvement with the European Recovery Program, which is to say the Marshall Plan. Go back in history. Understand the history that's being revised and expunged from our history books. By the way, this is why the pushback from even conservatives to books like American Betrayal, the communist sympathizers do not want you to know about this stuff. But the federal government placed James Bauman, again, Valerie Jarrett's father, under special surveillance because of his involvement with the Marshall Plan. There's a book. You've got to get this book. People know. I love books. It's a book written by Dr. Paul Kengor, K-E-N-G-O-R, Dr. Paul Kengor, titled Takedown, From Communists to Progressives, How the Left Has Sabotaged Family and Marriage. And you may think, that by the way, was published in May of 2015, and you might think, well, wait a minute, what does that have to do with anything? Well, if you think about this, we are witnessing, and we have been witnessing, watershed moments in our cultural history. The family unit, marriage, is being sabotaged at every turn. Extreme left radicals have made their arguments and tried different tactics from the early 19th century. Go back to the sexual revolution, or go back to the early 19th century, and then to the sexual revolution of the 1960s. The vehicle that they've been using is the homosexual movement. They are changing the legal definition, and have successfully done so, of marriage. The floodgates have opened. The fundamental transformation of the American family has taken on new speed and new dimensions. The American traditional family, the nuclear biblical family, has been redefined, and efforts to redefine the family structure have long been at work. Where this is coming from, of course, are the influential forces on the far left and the communist left. That's in the book Takedown. Dr. Kinger exposes those origins, beginning with Karl Marx, traces them right through the sordid history of people like Margaret Sanger of Planned Parenthood, Herbert Marcuse, assorted 1960s radicals. This is what we're talking about with Valerie Jarrett. What were once fringe concepts that have become accepted by the mainstream thought. They're welcomed today by legislators and judges and people in general. And in his book Takedown, Dr. Paul Kinger notes how in the not-so-distant past, today's Marxists, the leftists who are attacking traditional marriage, would have loudly raised their voices but not caused any real damage. But we've given them this platform. We've given them that through our silence and our acceptance. You know those coexist bumper stickers? Every time I see one, man, you talk about a trigger effect. Or the acceptance of this homosexual agenda, when people have weaponized tolerance. How's that? What we've seen, and Dave Dobmeier has pointed this out. In fact, when we were at the Supreme Court steps, right before the decision of Obergefell, homosexual marriage, it's a Trojan horse for the far left, for the Marxist left, to secure the final takedown of marriage that it has long wanted. And countless everyday Americans are oblivious to the deeper forces that are at work here. Paul Kinger's book, Takedown, it takes no prisoners, bluntly shows that even Karl Marx and his more anti-marriage comrade Engels would have been absolutely dumbfounded at the mere thought that that modern Americans would join them in their rejection of God's design for natural marriage and the family. The reason I spent time talking about the book Takedown, it lays out what we're seeing today, the assault, the battle that we're fighting to maintain traditional values. This is all part of this Marxist revolution. But back to Valerie Jarrett. Sorry about that. The construction noises, if you can't hear it, it's a little bit distracting, so I apologize. But so back to Valerie Jarrett. Her father, James Bauman, associating with communists, his primary colleague, Alfred Stern. Alfred Stern, a guy that was convicted or indicted in absentia on espionage charges back in 1957. This is what we're talking about. This is who we're talking about. And Bauman himself being placed under special surveillance because of his involvement with the Marshall Plan. And as Paul Kinger notes, the Marshall Plan association is extremely intriguing as well as troubling. One of the most insidious forms of the Communist Party agitation in the 40s and 50s was to frame the Marshall plan as a form of vile American imperialism. That was the Kremlin line. That was pushed by Stalin and Molotov and mimicked by the Communist Party USA. One of the most prolific peddlers of that line was Frank Marshall Davis. Frank Marshall Davis characterized the Marshall Plan in his writings as a device to maintain white imperialism. The plan by Davis's rendering, Frank Marshall Davis by his rendering, was a disgusting oppression of non-white peoples everywhere. A slavery purchased by Secretary of State Marshall's billions of U.S. dollars to bolster tottering empires of England, France, and Belgium. What do we hear today? What's the fight against? Nationalism, right? It's the same semantics are the same. James Bauman, Valerie Jarrett's father, was also a member of the Association of Interns and Medical Students, a group that, according to the FBI file on Valerie Jarrett's father, engaged in un-American activities. He was a long and faithful follower of the Communist Party line. And this information is further buttressed by documents on Bauman from the U.S. Office of Personnel Management, which showed that the FBI investigated him for his membership in a group that follows the Communist Party line. He was also very active with the Communist Student Group, American Youth for Democracy. Remember that name of that group, American Youth for Democracy. These innocuous-sounding names, but they're not. They're vehicles for communist infiltration, and have been. And there are other such vehicles today. Remember, the tactics are the same, the objectives are the same. Sometimes the tactics differ. But it seems like we've been following this pattern for some time. Okay. So you've got that. That's Valerie Jarrett's father, James Bauman. By the way, he was also involved with the Abraham Lincoln School in Chicago, where Frank Marshall Davis taught at the time. Now, if you don't know who Frank Marshall Davis is, it would be good to, maybe that you could accept that as your homework assignment. Look at Frank Marshall Davis, Obama's mentor. Now, what about Valerie Jarrett's mother? Valerie Jarrett's mother. Pretty interesting individual. Valerie Jarrett's mother is the early childhood education author Barbara Taylor Bauman. Barbara Taylor Bauman, that's Valerie Jarrett's mother. She was born in 28. In 1966, she co-founded a Chicago-based graduate school in child development known as the Erickson Institute, named after, if that sounds familiar, Eric Erickson, the psychoanalyst. It was in 1950 when Eric Erickson, by the way, became a hero to the Marxist progressive left by choosing to resign from his professorship at the University of California rather than sign an anti-communist loyalty oath, as the school at that time required. Indicative of Erickson's Institute's radical political orientation is the fact that it required its board of trustees included, in addition to Barbara Taylor Bauman, Valerie Jarrett's mother, individuals such as Tom Ayers, if that name rings a bell, the father of Bill Ayers, Weather Underground, Bernadine Dorn, Ayers' wife. What about Valerie Jarrett's maternal grandfather? Looking at the lineage here, Valerie Jarrett's maternal grandfather was a Chicago communist, flat out. His name is Robert Rashawn Taylor, the first black head of the Chicago Housing Authority. Look at Chicago today and you wonder why? In the 1940s, he was involved with such communist fronts as the American Peace Mobilization and the Chicago Civil Liberties Committee, where he was an advisory board member. Also a member of these groups was, again, Frank Marshall Davis. FBI documents show that Taylor was in contact with Soviet agent Alfred Stern on numerous occasions. I can go on. You get the idea. The FBI files on the Jarrett family are extensive. Now, Jarrett's maternal grandmother, Dorothy Taylor, she was a Berkeley, California native who was active with, guess what, Planned Parenthood in its early formative years. Now, when Valerie Jarrett was just 5 years old, her family relocated to London for a year before settling back in Chicago, in Chicago's elite Hyde Park neighborhood in 1963. Now, Jarrett earned a bachelor's degree in psychology from Stanford in 78 and a Juris Doctorate from the University of Michigan Law School in 81. And from 1981 to 87, she practiced law at two Chicago-based private firms. In 83, she married Dr. Robert Jarrett, the son of Chicago Sun-Times reporter Vernon Jarrett. Now, Jarrett's father-in-law, Vernon Jarrett, you've all heard his name, right? Vernon Jarrett was this pioneering black journalist back in the 1940s. He freelanced at the Kansas City's The Call from 1954 to 1958. Then he went back to Chicago to become the first nationally syndicated black columnist for the communist-influenced Chicago Defender. He wrote columns extolling the communist poet Langston Hughes. And like lifelong Stalinist Dubois, and others, communists. Back in the 40s, Vernon Jarrett was a leader of the Chicago chapter of the American Youth for Democracy. Remember, I told you to remember that name. That's the youth wing of the Communist Party USA. He served on the public publicity committee for the Packing House Workers Union. This is a Chicago-based firm entity dominated by the Communist Party USA. In each of these endeavors, Vernon Jarrett had close contact with Frank Marshall Davis. And Judicial Watch has done a lot Judicial Watch reports that according to his FBI files, Vernon Jarrett was a leading Chicago-based communist for a period of time. This according to Judicial Watch. Vernon Jarrett appeared on the FBI security index and was considered a potential communist saboteur who was to be arrested in the event of a conflict with the Soviet Union. Now think about that for a second. This is Jarrett's father-in-law. If war broke out between the United States and the Soviet Union, he was top on the list to be arrested. His FBI file revealed that he was assigned to write propaganda for a Communist Party front group in Chicago that would disseminate the Communist Party line among the middle class. Vernon Jarrett was a member of the Communist Party from 1946 to 48, was also one of its key fundraisers. That's Vernon Jarrett. Paul Kinger, writing in his book, put it, his FBI file is so filled with communist groups and activities that makes your head hurt. Unbelievable. So when you look at Jarrett's radical and communist roots, well, in 2014, Dr. Paul Kinger, in his book, he summarized the implications of Valerie Jarrett's radical communist lineage. Barack Hussein Obama's mentor, Frank Marshall Davis, worked with literal relatives of Valerie Jarrett, her grandfather, her future father-in-law, in Chicago's Communist Party circles back in the 40s. In an earlier piece, Dr. Paul Kinger put it this way. So imagine where we are today. Barack Obama, Frank Marshall Davis's political godson, and Valerie Jarrett, daughter-in-law to Vernon Jarrett and granddaughter of Robert Taylor, men with links to pro-Stalinism, are the two dominant figures in the White House. Or they were during that period of time until Donald Trump took over. The power center that battled the USSR throughout the Cold War. In July of 2015, Kanger elaborated that James Baumann, again, Valerie Jarrett's father, Robert Rashawn Taylor, Valerie Jarrett's maternal grandfather, and Vernon Jarrett, who's Valerie Jarrett's father-in-law, were all in Chicago at the very same time, all operating in the exact same close-knit circles in the city's Communist Party, generally in of a much smaller group of African-American communists specifically. Oh, man. See, you thought that Valerie Jarrett was just a slumlord, right? Oh, I'll get to that in a second. But see, Valerie Jarrett entered Chicago politics back in 1987, as the Deputy Corporation Counsel for Finance and Development in the administration of Harold Washington, the city's, Chicago's, first black mayor. Jarrett's father-in-law, the Washington Post called Jarrett's father-in-law a key influence in Harold Washington's decision to run for the Chicago mayorship, may have facilitated Valerie's rise through Chicago's political ranks. Now, after Washington's death in 1987, Valerie Jarrett served as deputy chief of staff for the next mayor, Richard Daley. Y'all know that name, I'm sure. And during her tenure in that post, Jarrett met and befriended a young lawyer named, guess who? Come on. Michelle Robinson. The future Michelle Obama, who at the time was engaged to Barack Obama. In 1991, Jarrett and her colleague Susan Shearer recruited Michelle to Chicago's City Hall, and Jarrett quickly became a trusted confidant of both Barack Hussein Obama and Michelle Robinson, later to be Michelle Obama, or Michael, or whatever. And then from 92 to 95, Jarrett served the administration of Richard Daley, the Chicago mayor, as commissioner of the Department of Planning and Development. You might think this is boring. No, just hang on, because this all ties together. And then for a period of 8 years, from 95 to 2003, she chaired the Chicago Transit Board. Sometime in the early 1990s, Marilyn Katz, an activist public affairs consultant with close ties to the City Hall and a former Students for a Democratic Society, SDS, remember that, radical, introduced Jarrett to Daniel Levin, a cousin of Senator Carl Levin, the Democrat from Michigan, and Sandra Levin from Michigan. But I mentioned she's more than a slumlord, right? In my view. It was from 1995 to 2008 when Valerie Jarrett worked for Daniel Levin's real estate firm, the Habitat Company. Oh, hang on. In 2007, Jarrett became Habitat's president, Habitat's CEO, earning $300,000 in salary, plus he had deferred compensation of over $500,000. And from 2001 to 2008, the Habitat Company managed something called Grove Park Plaza, which was a federally subsidized 504-unit public housing complex. It was located right in the neighborhood that Barack Obama had represented for 8 years as a state senator. But see, under Habitat's management, this Grove Park, this plaza, Grove Park Plaza, this 504-unit public housing, it fell into disrepair. It became largely uninhabitable. It was plagued by a host of unaddressed problems, such as collapsed roofs and fire damage and rats and mice and sewage backups and you name it. There was a report in the Boston Globe back in 2008 that said this: in 2006, federal inspectors graded the condition of the complex an 11 on a 100-point scale, which was a score so bad that the buildings were facing demolition. Ultimately, the government seized control of the complex because of its absolutely horrifying conditions. Now, this is under Jarrett's watch. Also under her watch, according to the Globe, Habitat co-managed an even larger subsidized complex in Chicago that was seized by the federal government back in 2006 after city inspectors found widespread problems. This is Valerie Jarrett. But see, for Jarrett, the news was not all that bad. She became immensely wealthy while presiding over these slum apartments. It was in 2012. As of 2012, she owned an 11% equity interest in Kingsbury Plaza. Kingsbury Plaza, remember that too. This is a 46, and I'm sure people living there, a 46-story luxury apartment complex developed by the Habitat Company between 2005 and 2007. The cost, $100 million. And it was on her 2011 financial disclosure form that she valued that investment, which a spokesman for Valerie Jarrett said was a direct result of her 13 years working for Habitat, at between $1 million and $5 million. And according to a 2012 report in the Washington Free Beacon, Cook County records show that the Kingsbury Plaza, that property's worth, was actually $27.2 million, but thanks to a series of legal appeals beginning back in 2003, the land and building are assessed at much lower value for tax purposes. How is that for social justice, Valerie Jarrett? And since 2008, the property had been designed or has been designed, or I'm sorry, designated a special commercial structure, and is taxed at a value of just $6.8 million, which is about 25% of the actual value. When asked how such a property could enjoy a low taxable value, somebody with the Cook County Assessor's Office told the Free Beacon that the property's owners, well, they must have good attorneys. See, Marxists, communists, they want us to fall under communism and Marxism. Not them, it's us. Now, aside from her duties with the Habitat company, from 2000 until 2007, Valerie Jarrett was a board member of the Chicago Stock Exchange. Yeah, go figure, right? She also served positions as chair of the University of Chicago Medical Center's Board of Trustees. She was a vice chair of the University of Chicago's Board of Trustees, a trustee of Chicago's Museum of Science and Industry, and a board of directors member of USG Corporation, a Chicago-based building materials company. But here's the meat of it. You got her background, right? Her lineage, communist. I mean, she's steeped in communism. From her parents to her grandparents to colleagues. So after Obama entered the 2008 election, Jarrett co-chaired the Obama-Biden transition project. After that, she was appointed to a prominent position in the Obama regime, senior advisor and assistant to the president for public engagement and intergovernmental affairs. Put that on your business card, right? In that particular capacity, she was one of Obama's closest and most trusted advisors, as well as Michelle Obama's too. Consider the following about Jarrett's importance as an Obama advisor. An Obama 2008 campaign official told the New York Times, if you want Obama to do something, there's two people he's not going to say no to: his wife Michelle and Valerie Jarrett. But also back in 2008, remember I mentioned Susan Scheer, who had helped Jarrett recruit Michelle Obama to the Chicago's mayor's office back in 1991, emphasized how incredibly instrumental Valerie Jarrett would be in everything White House related. In 2009, Obama himself told the New York Times that I trust her completely, talking about Valerie Jarrett. She's family. Obama said that he trusted Jarrett to speak for him. Now, when you say that in any capacity, for example, if I would say that I trust this person to speak for me, that's a whole boatload of trust. Now, the New York Times described Jarrett as Obama's closest friend in the White House, his envoy, his emissary, all-purpose ambassador, and the ultimate Obama insider. The Washington Post columnist Dana Milbank said that Jared's connection to Obama is deep and personal, calling her the real center of Obama's inner circle. She described Jared as Obama's longtime mentor and friend, as someone in a position of unparalleled influence over Obama. Anita Dunn, remember her? Former White House communications director, full-blown communist. Remember Anita Dunn? She said that, she talked about Valerie Jarrett, said that her role since she's been at the White House is one of the broadest, most expansive roles I think has ever existed in the West Wing. Martin Nesbitt of Chicago, this business tycoon, said that Jared established both Michelle and Barack Obama's whole notion of authenticity. And I can go on, but you get the idea. She's deeply and has been deeply concerned with racial issues. Remember that tape recording of Jeremiah Wright's racist anti-American diatribe? That whole series of recordings that came out back in Obama's run back in 2008. Jeremiah Wright, Reverend Wright, remember that? After the tape recordings threatened Obama's run, his campaign, it was Jared who encouraged Obama to give his race speech at Constitution Hall. That's the African-American administration staffers said that without Valerie Jarrett, without her tutelage, their opinions, it could have sunk his campaign, at least on the black vote. It's, yeah. Now, again, I could go on, but you're getting the idea, getting the picture. In early 2009, right after Obama became an occupant of the Oval Office, Valerie Jarrett lobbied him to create the Office of Chief Diversity Officer within the FCC. Think about this. Think about where we are today. What's the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission? We got to have a new position there, Barry. Can you hear Valerie Jarrett saying this? And that position has got to be the Chief Diversity Officer within the FCC. And that position was filled soon thereafter by a guy by the name of Mark Lloyd. Guess where Mark Lloyd came from? The Center for American Progress and a follower of Saul Alinsky. And if you don't know about the Center for American Progress, that's another homework assignment. But she also helped recruit Cass Sunstein, somebody who supports the Fairness Doctrine. Yes, the Fairness Doctrine. Now, without Valerie Jarrett's patronage, Van Jones, remember Van Jones? He would have never gotten his appointment as the Green Jobs Czar, however brief that was back in March of 2009. So it was Valerie Jarrett who was sweeping up all of these communists and making sure they got positions within Obama's orbit, within his regime. And if there were no positions, she would make positions, create positions. So, back in September of 2009, Valerie Jarrett's office approved the invitation of Jamil Jafar, the head of the ACLU's National Security Project, to a White House Ramadan dinner. You want to know who Jamil Jafar is? Jafar is the cause celeb of the far, far, far left for his career of litigating against the United States in support of terrorists and radical Muslims. And he's proudly touted his awards from groups like CARE. Remember who Valerie Jarrett is? A Muslim? Okay. Talk about advancing the Obama agenda. It was May 12th, 2009. A number of employees in Jarrett's office, and perhaps even Jarrett herself, helped co-host a strategy meeting organized by the Nathan Cummings Foundation. There were some 60 artists there. This is collaborating with the National Endowment for the Arts to advance the Obama regime's agenda, the communist agenda. This is where she's pulling in artists now, organizing with and by the Nathan Cummings Foundation. Some 60-plus artists were there. Making art for Obama. In other words, challenging them, the artists, to come up with promising and attractive ideas about how artists can work for, how the artists can actually propagate, propel the Obama's Marxist, communist, Muslim agenda. Remember what I said about the assault on our culture, art, entertainment. This is it. This is exactly what we're talking about, what I've been talking about, what everyone should be talking about. Remember Henry Louis Gates? Probably not by name. Remember Harvard professor Henry Louis Gates? He was the guy that was arrested for disorderly conduct back in July of 2009. Remember that whole deal? Arrested outside of his house. He was black, and the police arrested him. He didn't have any identification. There was a little row that went on there. And anyway, Obama said that the Massachusetts police had acted stupidly. Remember that whole big ordeal? It was Jarrett who told Obama, look, you can't say that about the cops. You gotta walk that statement back. And if you watch Obama at that time, you can see the influence Jared had. That's just one example of Jared's influence on Obama. And Solyndra. Oh, Solyndra. Remember that fabulous deal? It was Valerie Jarrett who in 2010 and 2011, she promoted Solyndra, that California-based solar power company, where one of her wealthiest Chicago connections, billionaire George Kaiser, a leading Obama bundler, held a 35% share in the company. It was on Jarrett's advice that Obama famously visited and publicly praised Solyndra back in 2010, despite the fact that auditors were saying, wait a minute, no, this is bad. As a matter of fact, a year later, in 2011, Solyndra declared bankruptcy, but not before it received a half of $1 billion in a government-backed loan. This is Valerie Jarrett, her influence on Obama. The slumlord, the Muslim slumlord. I'm just saying. And it was, again, look, these are the people who are the members of the deep state, of the shadow government. Valerie Jarrett right now, along with Obama, Barack Obama, and Michelle Obama, are heading the resistance against Donald Trump. And it was back in October 2012. It was revealed that for a number of months then, Valerie Jarrett, who had no experience in international relations or negotiations, guess what? She was the one leading secret negotiations with representatives of Iran's supreme leader, Khamenei, in an effort to develop normalized relations between the United States and Iran. Remember the Iran deal? You know the Iran deal. Well, who was negotiating? Who was Obama's Kissinger? Remember Kissinger, Nixon? Who was Obama's Kissinger for the Iran deal? It was Valerie Jarrett, and she had no experience in international negotiations. She'd been leading secret negotiations with members of the crew from Khamenei's team. A few days right before the 2012 election, presidential election, a representative from Jarrett's office quoted Jarrett as having told several senior staffers the following. Listen to this carefully. After we win, After we win this election, it's our turn. Payback time. Everyone not with us is against us. And they better be ready because we don't forget. The ones who helped us will be rewarded. The ones who opposed us will get what they deserve. There's going to be hell to pay. Congress won't be a problem for us this time. No election to worry about after this is over. And we've got two judges ready to go. Let me say this again. This is so critical. It's payback time. It was just a few days before the November 2012 presidential election, where Valerie Jarrett was quoted as saying, after we win this election, it's our turn. Payback time. Everyone not with us is against us, and they better be ready because we don't forget. The ones who helped us will be rewarded. The ones who opposed us will get what they deserve. There's going to be hell to pay. I'll just stop right there. You get the idea. And what are we seeing today? Look at the hashtag resist or hashtag resistance or whatever. Look at that movement. Who's behind that movement? Who's behind that shadow government, deep state movement? It's Obama and it's Valerie Jarrett. In the scheme of things, Spygate. Do you think Obama himself thought that up? No. What we're seeing today, the attempted takedown of Donald Trump, President of the United States, goes directly to the feet of Barack Hussein Obama. Just as Huma Abedin is the body person for Hillary Clinton, Valerie Jarrett serves in that same capacity for Barack Hussein Obama and Michelle Obama. Sorry. Yeah. Same relationship, type of relationship. Think about this. There's one other piece, and I find this very interesting. Remember, well, when you look at the email scandal, the Clinton email scandal, and think carefully about this. Back in March of 2015, it was reported that throughout her entire tenure as Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, in blatant violation of government regulations and all things good and holy, and I say that, sorry, had never used a government email account and instead transmitted all of her official government correspondences via a personal email address that she registered on the very same day as her confirmation hearings for Secretary of State. That email address, hdr22@clintonemail.com, traced back to the private server that was situated inside the Clinton's house in Chappaqua, New York. That was March of 2015. In mid-March, Ed Klein, whose books I've got, by the way, reported that, according to his sources, Valerie Jarrett had leaked this information, embarrassing and potentially damaging to Clinton's political aspirations, to the press. And according to Ed Klein, Valerie Jarrett did so through people outside the administration, so the story couldn't be traced back to her or the White House. Now, this is what Klein wrote. In addition, at Valerie Jarrett's behest, the State Department was ordered to launch a series of investigations into Hillary's conduct at Foggy Bottom, including the use of her expense account, the disbursement of funds, her contact with foreign leaders, and possible collusion with the Clinton Foundation. Six separate probes into Hillary's performance have been going on at the State Department. I'm told that the email scandal was timed to come out just as Hillary was on the verge of formally announcing that she was running for president and that there was more to come. Remember how I spoke about the bad blood between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama? Writes Klein, the sabotage is part of an ongoing feud between the two Democrat powerhouses. Last fall during the run-up to the 2014 midterm elections, Valerie Jarrett was heard to complain bitterly that the Clintons were turning congressmen, senators, governors, and grassroots party members against Obama by portraying him as an unpopular president who was an albatross around the neck of the party. Jarrett was said to be livid that most Democrats running for election refused to be seen campaigning with Obama. She blamed the Clintons for marginalizing the president and for trying to wrest control of the Democratic Party away from Obama, and she vowed payback. Writes Klein, my sources say Jarrett saw an opportunity hit back hard when Monica Lewinsky suddenly resurfaced after years of living in obscurity. Jarrett discreetly put out word to some friendly members of the press that the White House would look with favor if they gave Monica some ink and airtime. This is how it works. So what I'm trying to say here, the source of contention between Obama and Hillary, think of it as kind of like this infighting within the mob, so to speak. All right. The fighting for wrestling for power. But the bottom line is they're both Muslim Marxists on fighting for control from within. And of course, you've got Valerie Jarrett's alliance with Black Lives, the Black Lives Matter. In fact, it was on September 16th, 2015, when Jarrett and some other administration officials met with Black Lives Matter activists Brittany Packnett, DeRay McKesson, and others. And then on March 1st, 2017, the Daily Mail reported that Jarrett had moved into the 5.3 million, 8,200 square foot mansion in Washington's Embassy Row with Obama, where he's running the resistance campaign. And by the way, right now, Obama and Jarrett are overseeing and guiding the activities of Organizing for Action, an organization dedicating to preserving Obama's legacy and taking down President Donald Trump. That, folks, is who Valerie Jarrett is. A communist among us. An unapologetic communist. The secret negotiator of the Iran deal. The person who promised payback for those not with the agenda. That's where we're at today. When you see headlines, for example, former U.S. prosecutor Andrew McCarthy calls BS on Trey Gowdy. When you see Trey Gowdy, Marco Rubio, James Clapper, when you see their names come in to the headlines, understand this. The agenda that we're fighting, what we're fighting here is full-blown attempted communist takeover and takedown of this country. Valerie Jarrett, Barack Hussein Obama, James Comey, James Clapper, John Brennan. John Brennan, don't forget, is a Muslim, converted Muslim, this according to an FBI, who should know. John Brennan, who voted for a Communist Party member back in 1976, Gus Hall. That wasn't a passing fancy. You know, let's buck the system by voting for a communist. This is an ideology. All of these people, in my view, when you look at the people behind the ideology here, can be connected together with this Marxist communist ideology. And you may tire of me saying this, you may tire of me pointing this out, but we have to understand what we're fighting, what we're fighting against. You have to understand how far back this goes, the roots of this. You have to understand as well, in my view, how the attack on the American family, how the attack on our morality, our culture, how this all ties together. I hope this expose on Valerie Jarrett today, I hope you found it a worthwhile investment of your time. Thank you so much for listening. May God bless. Until tonight.
The Doug Hagmann Radio Show is brought to you by The Hagmann Report. Tune in to The Hagmann Report weekdays, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. For more information, go to HagmannReport.com. That's HagmannReport.com.